Welcome back, everyone, to The Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno, and I'm here to talk about a brand new preview of an awesome, awesome tool that we debuted at Build 2017. So if you watched the keynote with Terry et al., you probably saw this thing called the Xamarin Live Player, which enables you to continuously develop and debug your iOS and Android applications with just Visual Studio and an iOS or Android device. Now, what's really cool about this is it allows you to rapidly iterate on your designs and your code for Xamarin Forms and also for Xamarin native applications and controls as well, which is really cool. Now, further on in the Build 2017 videos, Miguel and I gave an entire awesome, awesome session that I'll put in the show notes below on Xamarin, the future of mobile development, where I go really in-depth on the Xamarin Live Player and a bunch of awesome, awesome new features that we released for Xamarin developers. So today what I want to do is introduce you to the Xamarin Live Player, build out a few little applications with it, and show you how to get up and running. Now, previously, if you've seen any of the videos on the Xamarin Live Player, you may have seen a lot of videos with Visual Studio 2017. The Xamarin Live Player is completely compatible with Visual Studio 2017 and the brand new Visual Studio for Mac. So as you can see, I'm here on my beautiful rose gold MacBook. And today what I'm going to do is walk through how to set up your devices in Visual Studio for Mac and connect them to get started with the Xamarin Live Player. So enough talk, let's jump right over onto my Mac and get started. So the first thing you'll want to do is head to xamarin.com/live so you can kind of get a startup guide on how you get started with the Xamarin Live Player. So the first thing you'll want to do is, of course, download the app from the App Store. It's available on both the iOS App Store and Google Play for your Android devices. And essentially what will happen is Visual Studio will communicate back and forth with the Xamarin Live Player application. So let's scroll down and read a little bit more. There's a short little video of how to get started, and we want to make it as easy as 1, 2, 3. Creating your first app inside of Visual Studio, either you're on a Mac or PC, and then scan a QR code to pair your device, and then simply run your code. Now, you'll need the preview releases of both Visual Studio 2017 and Visual Studio for Mac. So simply follow these instructions right here to get started. Based on what device you're on, you'll either see the Visual Studio 2017 or Visual Studio for Mac instructions. So here we can see getting started with Visual Studio 2017. You'll need the 2017 15.3 preview and the Xamarin updater. Now I'm here on a Mac, so let me hit the Mac instructions. And all I need to do here is go into Visual Studio for Mac and switch over to the alpha channel. Now it's very important that both the devices are on the same Wi-Fi network. So what I'm going to do here is I'm actually going to connect my iOS device, let's do that one today, to Visual Studio 2017 and get it running there. And that's kind of it. So let's go ahead and jump over there to Visual Studio 2017. But before I do that, I want to point out that you have additional information and samples and limitations and troubleshooting right here in the documentation. So what I have is Visual Studio 2017, and I have a monkeys application. Now, normally I would do file, new application for either Xamarin Forms or Xamarin Native and go from there. But I figured I'd pull in some mock data and see if we can't not do a little bit more than just file new and build out a little bit of something. So I have my iOS device here. It's going to be paired with the Xamarin Live Player inside of Visual Studio for Mac. And all I'm doing here is I'm just using QuickTime to actually screen mirror my physical iOS device. So you can kind of see that here. It's not a simulator or anything like that. It's actually my physical device that's going to be sitting side by side. Now this application has some data in it. It's going to be a list of monkeys that I'm going to iterate off of. So I have some monkey data in here. I have some view model data. So I have a monkey's view model here. And what we can see is that I'm actually using mock data, because since I want to do a design time, I'm doing everything in design time. So it's not going to hit any web servers or pull down anything. It is going to pull in some real images into the application, because it can make network requests. But I'm not going to do any JSON deserialization or anything like that. I want just mock data. I do this often in a lot of my applications, because I want to be able to work completely offline into different modes. So here's all the different pages that I have going on here. So let's go ahead and close a few of these here. I'm going to close all files. So if we look at my monkeys view model, I have a list of monkeys and a monkey count on top on side of here. And it will do proper MVVM and data binding into our views. So let's get started here and see what I need. Well, what I want to do is go into my home page. And we can see it's a very simple stack layout with a button there today. I have a little bit of code behind with a little navigation with some breakpoints set up. And what I'll need to do is pair my actual devices. There's a few ways to do this. If you go to Tools and then Manage Devices under the Xamarin Live Player, you'll be able to pair and scan the QR code. So here I can actually take my iOS device and I can actually see the studio that's going on here and I can scan it. Now I've already paired it, so no need. But it's important to realize that if you don't have an actual device with a camera, you can just enter that number into Visual Studio and connect it. Now notice that I'm also connecting Android devices, so you can connect your Android or iOS device, no matter what you want to do. So perfect, I've already paired it, which means now, with the iOS project as my startup, I see under the Xamarin Live Player that the Live Player for my iPhone is selected. You can, of course, select other simulators or the device that's plugged in, but here I just have the Player application. So this means immediately, as soon as I open it, all I have to do is hit debug. And what that'll do is connect to my Live Player application, ship all my bits over to the device, and boom, I have my application running right here. Now this is the full application running inside of the application. So that means that what's going on is that it's still running it inside this core app. So if I stop debugging, it goes right back to the Live Player. So that means since it's running in our app, it's going to use our info plist, our entitlements, all that stuff inside the app. So there are some restrictions that are going on there. We can see even if I hit debug, it immediately shows up. And if I tap on that button, I'm in a real live debug session, so I actually hit the breakpoints for this monkey's view model, and I can evaluate other information, and I can kind of continue on in this view. So now we're navigating to and from, back and forth, which is really cool. But let's say I want to iterate on this design a little bit, because this homepage looks great, and I have some click handlers, but I want to do a little bit more. So I could come in and say label, and I'll say text equals hello Xamarin show. There we go. And now with those changes, I can go ahead and debug again, push my changes over to the device, and boom, it's running. But if I want to iterate on this page or any other page, I'm going to put it into a different mode that we actually call Live Run Current View. So I'm going to tap on that. Now this is going to put it into a little bit of a different mode. And this mode, as you can see, has no Chrome. There's no navigation on top of it, and I can't really do any navigation. But what I can do is live edit the actual XAML. So I'll say font size equals large, for instance. And with that, we can see that it'll pop up some messages. We'll go ahead and get rid of those. And what we can see is that the font size increases, which is really cool. I can go ahead and say text color equals red. There we go. And then it'll go ahead and update on the actual device as soon as it has some valid syntax. So let's go ahead and give valid syntax, and boom, now it's red. So it's really cool. I'm actually able to iterate on my design without ever having to close the application, hit debug, or do anything like that. So that means now I can swap over to another view. We saw that monkeys page earlier, which had nothing in it. So as I go over to other pages in this application, I can simply come in and say live run this current view. So what that'll do is we have this big blank page, and that's no good. We want to put some data inside of it. So let's start here with a list view, and it is aware so of my data binding. So I'm going to say binding to monkeys. There we go. And go ahead and put my list view in there. And just like that, my monkeys models show up inside the application. And it's just going to do a toString on everything. So I could actually come into my code behind here and say override my toString. There we go. Put in some information. And since it's still kind of live running my current view, it notices that the code behind associated with that view has also been updated. So now it's doing the brand new toString of that page. But that's kind of good, but not great, because I want to actually put in a little bit more detail into this page. So let me go ahead and stop the live run view. There we go. And I just want to kind of iterate on this page a little bit to get some boilerplate code in there. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna say list view dot, let's say an item template. There we go. And I'm gonna go ahead and put a data template because we're gonna do some data binding. Let's go ahead and make that a little bit better. There we go. And we'll put a view cell inside of here. So I'm gonna put a stack layout inside of it. Stack layout. There we go. So I have a base here, and I know that I'm probably going to put a label of text. Let's see here, binding to name. So I kind of have a little bit of a view in here, and that'll give me a basis to get running. So again, I'm just going to live run current view. And now that I'm back in that mode, we're gonna see that it's been updated right away, which is actually super cool. So I have this full view and I can interact with it and touch it around. So we can say, oh, you know, I want some padding in here, and we'll say 20 maybe. There we go. That's cool, it's looking a little bit better. I'm gonna know right away that I'm gonna have uneven rows, and we'll say equals true. And we'll say that the row height is -1, so it knows how to reevaluate it here. Oops, there we go. Equals -1, there we go. All right, so now it's looking a little bit better. But let's go ahead and let's get some more text in here, and we want maybe location. There we go. So now our location is going to show up. That's looking pretty good. And maybe we want this one to be a text color of blue. There we go. All right, that's better. We could do a little bit better, though. Maybe we want some images. So let's go and do another stack layout. There we go. And I'm going to go ahead and move this, and I'm going to stack this inside of this. There we go. Perfect. And I'm going to set the orientation. I'm just going to get rid of this view so I have more room to work here. I'm going to say orientation equals, we'll make it a horizontal layout. So let's go ahead and give it a second here while it reevaluates. There we go. Horizontal. And then what we're going to do is I'm going to put an image inside here, and I'm going to say source equals a binding here, not that binding, a binding here to image, which is just a URL, and it's just going to go try to pull down an image for me. Boom, but we have these huge monkeys. All right, let's go ahead and put a width request equal to, let's say, 60. Let's say a height request equal to 60 as well. And make sure we close it off. Now it's going to reevaluate, and we should get some monkeys in there. Let's get an aspect of aspect fill. Now it's going to go ahead and try to fill up the space. Now our monkeys are looking pretty good. I'm very happy about that. We can also adjust maybe the vertical options to center. There we go. Kind of adjust the text a little bit in there. And let's do another padding of 20. As this reevaluates my padding options. And what's really cool here is that I'm just literally iterating on my design back and forth without ever having to stop development. I'm just kind of keep going here. And as I start working on my application, it's still running live. So not only is the data in the code behind updating, but my view is updating as well. So this is really, really awesome because now, if I want to go ahead and leave this current view and just hit debug again, it will now run through the rest of my code. I can navigate across, and now I'm actually debugging this application with our new view that we had currently earlier. So as we see it kind of go back and forth, to and fro, which is really, really cool. I could, of course, then set the Android project as my startup, select my actual player there or a physical device there, and I can toggle back and forth between these player devices, and we can see it shows up so instantaneous, which is really awesome. So that's just kind of a sneak peek at how to get up and running with the Xamarin Live Player, and additionally, how to actually start really creating an application right inside of here. And you can start manipulating your code behind, your user interface right here. Now, there's some other settings inside of here. You can look at the logs, and these are kind of build logs that you can see. So essentially, as I was typing, this was all being reported back as invalid syntax on my device. And we didn't see those pop-ups because there's some additional settings that you can go into. You can go in and see runtime errors or compile errors inside of here and read additional documentation and specs inside the iOS and Android application and see some of the technology used to build it out. So that's a great way to get started. And of course, you can always leave feedback, which you can provide feedback by just going in and leaving feedback there. So this application was Xamarin Forms, but you can still do Xamarin native applications, specifically for iOS with code behind, and it has some additional limited storyboard support. So let me go ahead and open up another solution here. And I'm going to open up this kind of master detail native iOS Xamarin application. So what I have inside of here is I have a UI table view. I have some additional colors that are going on in here. Let me just run it to show you what it looks like here. So this will now connect and push over some colors, and I can see the colors that are going on inside of here, and I can continuously add these colors right inside of here. Now this is being generated because I actually have some handlers in here. I can insert some new colors into this row, and I can actually select a row and then change the code behind here, which is super nifty. So as I'm kind of iterating on this view cell, I can actually put this information inside of it. So if I actually go ahead and stop debugging here, I can also additionally go in and still actually run this current view. So now we have this current view and see the actual images that are coming in. So just like I did with Xamarin Forms and the XAML, I can still run my actual native iOS application that's running here. What's nice is that you don't have to run an entire view controller or a specific Xamarin Forms page. Maybe you're working on a custom control or a custom renderer. So for instance here, I'm now going to start kind of working on this UI image view or UI view that is an actual way of interacting with a circle. So what I do on top of here is I have this kind of crazy circle view, and notice it's just a UI view. I can adjust some of the items inside of here. So maybe I want it to be 50-50 as the default size. There we go. And I'll actually reevaluate. What's nice is that as I am adjusting this code, it'll update too, but I can also interact with it. So here I'm going to actually just touch around and move this ball around on the page. So how this is accomplished is that I've overrided the touch moves, touch end, and the draw moved to essentially fill it in. But maybe I don't like that the default here is purple. Maybe I want it to be red. Maybe I want the ball to be purple. There we go. So as I start to move around and adjust it here, so I can see that looks pretty good. But I could do a little bit more, for instance, because we can see that this background is being filled in. So maybe I want to say, you know, as we're moving it, I'll set background equal to UI color dot white, for instance, because I'm moving it around. So as I move it around, it's white. But maybe when the touch ends, I want to change it back to that red. So background equals UI color dot red, for instance. There we go. So I modify my code a little bit, and as now I reevaluate, pick up, drop down, and I'm now essentially modifying this entire application in real time. And you can see as I move up and move down. So what's really cool about this is it's not only your Xamarin Forms XAML, it can be your code behind iOS application, or just a simple UI view when you're working on a custom control. So the Xamarin Live Player gives you a lot of power over building out your iOS and Android applications with Xamarin. So this has been a short video on how to get set up, but read all the documentation in the show notes below, and we have a special forum set up on the Xamarin forums for your feedback. So I hope that you love getting started with the Xamarin Live Player, and we're super excited to see what you do with it. Until next time, I'm James Montemagno, and this has been The Xamarin Show.